Please be seated. My text for today is the opening four verses of the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke writes, "As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word in print and Holy Scripture, and we thank you for your word in flesh in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray you speak into our hearts today. Speak into our hearts about something that Jesus pointed out thousands of years ago, something that we don't tend to see today. Open not just our hearts to receive your word, but open our eyes to see what you would have us to see in this word. That's in the name of your living word that we do pray this. Amen and amen. One day, Herman and Clara were riding along in their shiny new automobile. Herman was driving and Clara was sitting in the passenger seat, and she was running her hands over the fine tooled leather dashboard and the seats and all that. And she turned to Herman and she said, "You know, Herman, if it weren't for my money, we'd never be able to have a luxury automobile like this." Herman just sat there. He didn't say anything. They pulled up to their house. They had a gate there and waited for the electric gate to open up, and they started down this long lane of trees and all that, and Clara had him stop about halfway. He said, "Look at there." Looked at the house. It looked like Tara in Gone with the Wind up there, you know, and she said, "You know, Herman, if it weren't for my money, we'd never be able to have a mansion like this." Herman just sat there. He didn't say a word. That evening, a big old van pulled up to the front of the house, and they unloaded a concert grand piano. Clara had them set it up in the sunroom, right there where the sun's rays could bounce off that ebony finish on there. And she had Herman stand there by, and she said, "You know, Herman, if it weren't for my money, we'd never be able to have a fine musical instrument like this." Herman just stood there. He didn't say a word. That night, as they were getting ready for bed, Herman crawled in. He turned over. He was trying to go to sleep. But Clara, she was in a pensive mood. She was sitting up in the bed looking around. She nudged old Herman to wake him up. Said, "Herman, you know, if it weren't for my money, we'd never be able to have that antique shiffer robe sitting over there. And we sure wouldn't be able to have that antique corner table that's right over there. And this exquisite four-poster antique bed. Wouldn't be able to have that either." Well, with that, Herman sat up. He said, "Now, honey, I don't want to hurt your feelings. But like the car and the house and the piano and the shift robe and the table and this bed, if it weren't for your money, I wouldn't be here either." Now, I begin my thoughts today with that old story, just to show you the power and influence that money and material possessions can have on our lives. And while we laugh, I dare say that there are some of us here today who are squirming in our seats, because that story of Herman and Clara strikes pretty close to home. And I wonder, could you be one of them? Does your life revolve around money and material possessions? Herman and Clara were sacrificing their lives for both. What about you? Today we meet a nameless saint who comes out of the shadows for just a brief moment. She deposits her few coins in the temple offering receptacle, and then she disappears back into those shadows just as quickly as she appeared. Luke tells us only three details about her. First, she was a widow. Second, she was poor. And third, she gave all. She gave everything she had as a gift to support her place of worship. And what was it that she gave? Luke tells us that she gave two small copper coins. The total value of those coins in today's currency would be about a penny, an amount way too small and insignificant to matter much in the world of Herman and Clara, a world that values wealth and status and prestige. Perhaps that's your world too. But in the family of God, we have different values. In the family of God, pennies matter because the people giving the pennies matter. You see, we believe every person has infinite worth. Everybody counts, regardless of who they are or how much they have. The two copper coins the poor widow gave to God were significant because the poor widow was significant to God. And by giving her two small copper coins, she gave proportionally more than most of us will ever give. In fact, she gave all. The question before us today is simply this. What were the human characteristics that made the widow so stand out to Jesus that he used her as an example for his disciples during the last week of his life? You know, they say that a person's last words are the most significant. You know? Well, here Jesus is in the last week of his life, and he's given some final teaching lessons to his disciples. As I often do when I pondered this passage of Scripture, I didn't use it and think about it in terms of historical event somewhere. What I tried to do was put myself into the scene, personalize it, so that it would speak to me, and I encourage you to do the very same thing. See? What are a few of those characteristics that the widow exhibited that Jesus wants us to emulate? But more specifically, as I pondered it, what are those characteristics of the widow that Jesus wants me to emulate? Put yourselves in there. What are the characteristics of the widow that the Lord wants you to emulate? Well, first, the widow in Luke's gospel had overcome the tendency to become selfish. You know, when we're born, we have this innate tendency to acquire and to possess, to grab and to hold. I grew up with two younger sisters. And as a child, I wanted what was mine, and I wanted what was theirs too. My parents had to struggle to teach me to share, because see, sharing, it doesn't come naturally. It's an acquired habit. And my parents struggled to do that. They succeeded, but then as a young man, I went to work as a systems engineer with IBM in Atlanta. I was working there in this environment where I was intent on climbing that corporate ladder. It was a highly competitive and dog-eat-dog environment. And in that particular environment, I quickly fell back into that self-centered way of life. I fell back into the way of life modeled by Herman and Clara, in which mine is the dearest adjective, and getting is the most beloved verb, and happy? Well, happy is not in the vocabulary. Friends, the allure of this world's shiny things has been the downfall of many, many folks. But by God's grace, in time, I escaped the devil's snare. Decades ago, I read that Ernest Hemingway had developed a unique way of avoiding the bondage of selfishly holding onto his material possessions as if somehow or another they gave his life added value. How'd he do it? Hemingway said that at the beginning of each new year, he gave his things away. He explained that he did that because it was the only way to prove that he owned his things. If he couldn't give them away, What that meant was that his things owned him. I found it strange that a man not known to be a follower of Jesus would embrace, even inadvertently, one of Jesus' fundamental teachings. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder, where is your treasure this morning? Where is that? And is that where your heart wants your heart to be? Jesus hooks the two together. I suspect that Jesus had a second reason for drawing his disciples' attention to the widow. Having overcome the human tendency to be selfish and knowing what it was like to try to eke out an existence, the widow's eyes had been opened to see others who were struggling to get by. And her heart had been opened. It had been opened to share what little she had with them. I'll make this point with a true story. One day, a poor boy by the name of Howard Kelly was selling goods door to door to pay for his education. It had been a long, long, hard day. Very poor results. He was hungry, but he only had one thin dime in his pocket. So he made up his mind that at the next house, he would ask for a meal. But he lost his nerve at the next house, because when he knocked on the door, a middle-aged woman opened it, and she opened it far enough for him to look inside. And as he looked inside that house, he quickly determined that she was struggling to get by just like he was. So instead of asking for a meal, he simply asked for a glass of water. The woman looked at Howard Kelly, and she could tell he was hungry. So instead of a glass of water, she brought him a large glass of milk. Howard drank it slowly. And then he asked the lady how much he owed her. She said, "You don't owe me anything. My mother taught me never to accept pay for a kindness." Kelly then thanked the woman and turned to leave. As he was walking on down the sidewalk, he felt this strange upliftedness about him. He'd been pondering for days that maybe he should just quit school, go to work somewhere. But there was something about the lady's smile and that glass of milk that gave him hope and encouragement to keep on keeping on. Years later, that same woman became critically ill. The local doctors were baffled, couldn't figure out what was going on. So they finally decided to send her to a hospital in the big city. Specialists there could perhaps diagnose what her disease was and cure. The specialists couldn't figure it out, so they called in a consultant. That consultant was Dr. Howard Kelly. When Dr. Kelly heard the name of the town that the lady was from, it rang a bell with him. So he left his office and went down to her room. And when he walked in, he immediately recognized her. She didn't recognize him, but he recognized her. He went back to his consultation room. He was determined to save the lady's life. It was a long struggle, but finally, the battle was won. Dr. Kelly asked the business office to send the final bill to him before they sent it to the lady's room. He wanted to be able to approve it. When the bill came to him, he went down through it step by step by step, and then he wrote something down there by that last little figure, big figure, about the total amount due. Sent it back to the business office. They sent it to the lady's room. She let it sit there a long time. She was afraid to open it, because she knew that the amount that she owed would be way more than she would ever be able to pay. But finally, she opened it. And when she looked through it down at the bottom, she saw by the total amount owed a simple note. paid in full with one glass of milk. Signed, Dr. Howard Kelly. Now, what you need to know is that Dr. Howard Kelly went on to become a renowned gynecologist. And indeed, if you research, you'll find that Dr. Howard Kelly was one of the four founding fathers of the Johns Hopkins Hospital. Now, what's the point of all this? Perhaps there was something about losing her husband that made the widow in Luke's gospel more prone to share what she had, as little as it might be, to share what she had so as to give others a bit of encouragement and indeed a hope for a brighter tomorrow. She gave all. How's that possible? All is a big word, isn't it? She gave all. Friends, I believe there's only one way that that's possible. The widow's two little coins paled in comparison to the priceless gift that she had already given to the Lord. And what was that priceless gift? She'd already given herself to the Lord. She'd already given her heart to the Lord. And consequently, she no longer trusted in what she could hold in her hands. No. Now she trusted in the hands that were holding her. Few, if any of you, will remember Edwina DeWeese. Edwina was with us for about a year, some 27 years ago, a long time ago. But she made a real impression on me, and I'll tell you why. Every Sunday morning, she would show up at the 8 o'clock service, that early service on the historic campus. She would arrive after the opening hymn. She'd come in during the opening prayers. She'd sit in the last pew on the right-hand side, if you were in the pulpit, the last pew on the right-hand side by the window that looks out on the May River. Never said a word to anybody. She'd be there, she'd say her prayer, she'd come forward and take communion, and then after receiving communion, she'd exit right away. It was not until our paths crossed in a local nursing home that I became acquainted with Edwina and with her husband, Bill. Bill had been battling Parkinson's disease for years, and Edwina had been right there by his side every single day. And during those years, all their financial resources had been exhausted in an effort to stave off the inevitable. They had a son and a daughter, and they were estranged from both of those children. And when Edwina called to tell them that Bill had died, neither one of them responded. A sudden heart attack took Edwina's life some 2 months after Bill died. When I heard that Edwina died, I called the phone number that the nursing home gave me to try to get in touch with them, but the phone had been disconnected. So I got the address that was on file there, and I went around there just to see if there was anything that I could do. I didn't know if anybody would be there or not. When I arrived, the son and daughter were both there. They were picking through the remains of their parents' scant possessions. It didn't take me long to figure out that my presence was not appreciated. So I turned to leave, and as I did, her son handed me Edwina's Bible, and he told me that they didn't want it. When I got back to my office, I sat there behind my desk and started going through her Bible. And I was reading the notes that she'd written in the margin by the Bible verses that she had underlined. And as I was making my way through her Bible, I found her offering envelope for the next Sunday. I opened it, and there was one crumpled $1 bill in there. When I saw that $1 bill and thought about the circumstances involved with all of it, my eyes just welled up with tears. As I recall today's text from Luke's gospel and what Jesus said, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Dear ones, The widow in Luke's gospel is an example for all of us in the way she lived and in her attitude toward giving, because her heart was in the right place. She had given her heart to the Lord. Her generosity was rooted in her gratefulness for all that the Lord had done and was doing for her. Through the tears that she shed when her husband died, the widow in Luke's gospel had been given the clarity to look beyond her circumstances to see God's grace and blessings. And in the absence of her husband, she had given even more of her heart to the Lord. And friends, that's the missing ingredient in most of our lives. We haven't given our hearts to the Lord. Oh, there are exceptions, of course. But in the main, we haven't given our hearts to the Lord. So we're not trusting in Him. We're trusting in what we have on our back hip or in our pocketbooks. Good Lord, forgive us. Calling His disciples together, Jesus pointed out and He said, look at that widow. Take a good, hard look. And friends, I believe that Jesus is saying the very same thing to you and me today. Why? Because that widow was the kind of person that the Hermans and Claras in this world overlook because she had so little. And sadly, many of us overlook them as well. Yet she was the kind of person that Jesus noticed because she gave so much. Jesus saw in her what He was trying to get His disciples to see and to be. Like Jesus, she didn't play it safe. Like Jesus, she didn't hold anything back. Like Jesus, she gave all. Look at her, Jesus said, because her sacrifice is a preview of the sacrifice that I'm going to be making for you in a few days. My friends, Jesus did not hold back. He gave all. He sacrificed His very life for you and for me. And He asked that those who are truly His disciples follow His lead by giving first His hearts to them, to Him, and then by sacrificing for others. Friends, like the widow in Luke's gospel, I pray that in time, you and I will take our places in heaven among the pantheon of nameless saints who gave their all for Christ and for others. You see, it's not important that our names be remembered. No, that's not important. What's important is that Jesus' name never be forgotten. What's important is that His gospel always be strongly proclaimed, unadulterated and without apology, to successive generations who call the Church of the Cross their spiritual home. Oh, may it be so, Lord. May it be so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, four short verses in Scripture, and they are just loaded. They're loaded with truths that indeed make us feel uncomfortable, make us squirm a bit. Because in the widow, Jesus is holding up a mirror in front of us. And He's saying, as you look at her, look at yourselves. Look at yourselves. She had so little, but she had so much. You have so much. But yet, what you give pales in comparison to what she gave. Come, Lord Jesus, in this world of ours where our values are all warped, write our values. Help us to see what's important. Help us to see that all these things that we accumulate and material possessions, and we think that somehow or another that makes us somebody, when really all those material possessions don't do a thing but cloud cloud the truth that we're somebody not because of what we have, but because of who you are and the fact that we are your children. Lord, help us to live into your image as the widow did. Help us to walk more closely to you. Help us to give our hearts to you. In your name we do pray it, Lord. Amen and amen.
I invite you to stand and let